Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Modern Workplace Hacks podcast. Today, Josh and I are going to be talking through security for your business, specifically the human element and getting a better feel for what your team are looking for or need in relation to security of your network environments and how that the users are probably one of the areas that are being left behind when it comes to security. So listen in, hopefully there's some good insights here for you. Enjoy.
Welcome to another Modern Workplace Hacks with Tom and Josh. Tommy, how are you?
Very well, Josh. How's it going?
Good.
On a roll.
Yeah. Oh, last week I fucked. I shouldn't say the
dropping F bombs.
We'll have to bleep that. Last week I messed this, but we're back again.
We're back. We're good.
No, public holiday. When's that? 2 weeks. That's going to mess us again.
Yeah, but we've got a public holiday Thursday as well.
Yeah, that's all right.
Celebrate the Queen.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, gosh. A lot happened in last week.
It has.
Last time we spoke about auditing.
We did.
And thought it was a good thing to sort of carry that on because there's been one thing we've been sort of building out for clients, which is this baseline assessment around security. And I want to dig a bit deeper and sort of talk in a bit more detail around security as a whole. Very topical.
Very topical. Growing. Continues to be topical.
And, just the importance. The more I've been unpacking it, the more I realise that this whole setting a baseline of understanding where you are from a cultural point of view, so a human-centric point of view within a security environment, but also there's the other things to sort of, on a yearly basis, just check to make sure that they're in order to optimize and cover yourself, I suppose.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I think there's certainly a couple of key aspects in that security framework that need to be considered.
Yeah.
And one thing that doesn't get looked at as often as it should is that, as you mentioned, that human-centric side of things. And that's one of the baseline frameworks you need to consider. Obviously, yeah. The technology has to be put in place and plays an important part.
Yep.
And it's no different to what we say with infrastructure and IT in general. It's process around security. So security aligns with that exactly that same framework: people, process, and technology.
Yep.
And they are all very different in the way they need to be dealt with.
Yes.
As they are in a business, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
So I think that's one thing we've sort of distilled over the last little while is breaking that down and being very clear about where those different elements lie. So you've got your technology element, and we're talking about security today. So your technology element, your firewalls, your antivirus, your updates, your spam protection, all those sort of things. So that's all a technology play. You'll hear things like zero trust. It's all about how do we protect the environment and protect the user.
Can you explain that a bit more? Because that comes up a lot. Zero trust. It's like the new buzzword. And I must admit, and until this last couple of weeks, I hadn't fully understood it unless I sort of had to dig deep on it.
Because
it's very topical. Everyone talks about it, but I don't know if a lot of people understand what it means.
Yeah, so a zero trust approach is really about when we talk about allowing people access to systems and data and information, is that we will trust nobody.
Yep.
And then we're asking for clarification of that trust on the way through.
Yes.
So, for example, multi-factor authentication is we're not going to trust someone accessing our data. We might set conditions that allow us to trust that person if they fulfill a multi-factor authentication process.
Yes.
So that's a zero trust there.
Yep.
That can then extend to, do I trust the device that person comes from?
Yep.
So again, we look at it, we create this zero trust environment with system policies and conditional policies, I guess, is the way to think about it. So when we want to access a system, be it email, SharePoint, OneDrive, could be a business app in the network, the zero trust model says we're not going to allow anyone access until you've met certain criteria.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a combination of conditional access and policy sets. So for example, we're not going to trust any device that's not corporately managed.
Yes.
So a user tries to log into SharePoint from home, from their home PC. We might have allowed multi-factor authentication as one, but we're also checking, is the device trusted?
Yes.
So in this instance, no, it's a home machine, not trusted,
yep,
not going to allow access.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So do we trust the user? Do we trust the device? Do we trust the network they're on?
Yep.
So down to the level of someone logging in from overseas.
Yes.
Do we trust that network that they're coming from?
Yep.
Well, no, we might not trust it, so we're not going to allow them access unless they're on the defined corporate VPN.
Yep.
And then we'll allow them access to that thing. So that's that zero trust.
Creating layers.
Creating layers, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's all about, there was a time where we would trust everyone.
Yes.
To get into the network, and then we would deny based on conditions. Now we're denying everything and allowing based on conditions.
Yeah, great. That's exactly, yeah. And that's what I couldn't get my head around. I was like, oh, so you don't trust, it's not that you're not trusting anything, it's just the fact that you need to go through certain gates to be able to gain entry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where last time you used to get in there and then prove yourself.
And then prove yourself, yeah. Or you get in and go, oh, well, I'm not allowed access to that part of the system. Now we're sort of, that's still there.
Yeah.
That from a permissions and structure and governance side. But what we're saying in this instance is we're not trusting anybody. You've got to prove your trust to get into this environment. Yeah. And multi-factor is a good example of that. Yep. Whereas, well, we used to be able to trust that you had a username and password, we let you in. Well, we're not allowing that anymore. We don't trust a username and password.
Yep.
You've got to have this third component,
yep,
a code, an SMS or whatever it is.
Yeah, sure.
So, yeah. So that's a zero trust element, which is very technical focused.
Yeah.
Very technology element of it.
Yeah. And also a bit of process as well, I find, because it's kind of, it is technology, but it's also, as an organization, how you roll out process around security.
Yeah, yeah. And as an organization, you need to be thinking about how you're rolling that out. And what, I mean, as an organization, you need to be thinking about, what do we want to allow people in to do?
Yeah.
Where do we want them to come in from? So there's an element of policy and process around that, because you'll need to define policy in your business and organization that says, we're not going to allow people to use their personal computers at home.
Yep.
Unless it's under these conditions, and it might be a virtual desktop. Well, then that's fine. Okay. If you've got virtual desktop technology in your environment, well, we may allow users to access that virtual desktop from their personal computer.
Yep.
But we won't allow them to access SharePoint or Outlook online directly.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a risk there. And the risk is, well, what is the risk? The risk is more around compliance of data more than anything in those scenarios.
Mm.
Well, SharePoint's all online, so your risk of virus is low,
yep,
but your risk of data loss is high because you're now allowing people to download or open files on a device that you don't control, which technically can lead to a data breach scenario.
Of course.
Things like that.
Yeah.
So it's about understanding the policies,
yep,
governance requirements, and then implementing the technology to meet that.
Yeah, absolutely. I read this really interesting thing. So they're saying that, well, there's a few conflicting numbers, but the one I found, 95%, so IBM put out this report saying 95% of all cyber or security things are human caused.
Human error.
So
HEPCAP.
Yeah.
HEPCAC. Problem exists between keyboard and chair.
Chair, yeah. Yes. Yeah. That's a good one. I like that. I'm writing that one down. So, you know, obviously the technology, the firewall, obviously the process has covered that. But this human element is just, I don't know, why have we always been looking at it as a technology problem when really it's a human problem?
And I think it always is a people challenge.
Yeah.
Always, to an extent, always has been.
It's easier to blame the tech. Is that what's happened in the past? A lot easier to blame the
technology.
Yeah.
However, the technology is not going to solve all those problems. You can put in every layer of security you want, but ultimately, if someone still manages to click on a link, enter their credentials, download something, you're at risk. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And it's not just risk of, and now more so, it's not just risk of a virus running on your computer. Like someone receives an email, launches an executable, most cases, that's going to be blocked and denied to some extent.
Yep.
With the right tools in place, but it's the data risk around there. So how have we educated your users in what to look for? Should they be replying to that message from the CEO? They received an email from a supplier that says our bank account details have changed.
Yeah.
Should they be actioning that? What are their responses to that? So that's just two examples of that people element.
Yep.
But it's about educating your staff and your team about what the risks are out there,
yep,
why they're risks, what the impact are, not only to the organisation, but to you as an individual.
Yep.
Because these risks exist whether you're at home or at work.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's that type of stuff there. But that's where the gap is now, because technology has advanced. And look, technology implementation comes at a cost.
Mm.
No doubt about it. You've got to have the right tools, the right systems. There's additional subscriptions. There's compliance checks. There's all the bits that go into it. So there is a real cost associated with that.
Yeah.
But it will only go so far, because people will still do stuff that helps them do their job quicker, whether it's right or wrong.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or whether they think they're doing the right thing. I think the most basic example is you receive the email from the CEO asking you to go pick up some iTunes vouchers.
Yeah.
The most common, like, it is a scam that happens.
Yeah. Everyone knows about it, but no one remembers it when they even get the email.
You're the new starter. You're in the business 2 days in and you get an email from the CEO. Oh, how cool is this? The CEO is already asking me to do something.
Yeah.
I'm going to go get those vouchers.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I won't bother anyone. Let me just go put it on my personal credit card.
Yeah.
And I'll pick that $1,000 worth of vouchers up and bring them back.
Yeah.
Mate, you've just been had.
Yeah.
And it's an awareness thing. That's all it is. It's not that the person was doing anything, the user wasn't doing anything malicious.
Yeah.
There's other scenarios around that, but it's that that's just what human nature. I've got to respond. I've got to do it. I'm in the zone and I'm busy. Accounts departments are the same.
Yeah.
In the zone, busy. This client or this supplier wants to change their bank details. Sure, no worries.
Yeah.
Bang it in. Payment's now gone to some scammer's account. So it's the awareness element.
Yeah.
And it's keeping people top of mind.
Yeah, 100%.
It just has to be top of mind. It's not that you're going to necessarily – oh, you will. You will change people's behavior by keeping it top of mind.
Yep.
And people learn more with repetitive sort of information, but more engaged when they're engaged with something as well.
Yeah.
They're not going to learn by just here's a bit of policy to read and sign, or watch this 3-minute video and you'll suddenly be able to stop every phishing scam that comes into your inbox.
Yeah.
It's just that repetitive nature of being shown, being educated, being helped, being talked to, allowing the user to ask questions.
Yep.
Hey, I've got this email. What does this mean?
Yeah.
Oh, no, that one's legit. That's good. This is why it's legit. No, that's a scam. This is why it's a scam.
That's the
thing. So it's that awareness piece. And once people are aware, and people will be aware for a certain period of time once you put them through a program and that sort of stuff. So you always get this height. Yep, we've got super vigil people.
Yep.
Then they get busy again.
Yeah.
So it's maintaining that element throughout the course. You get new starters in. How do we maintain their level of vigilance around what they're looking at and what they're seeing?
Yeah.
And giving them a framework to be able to ask questions and get support.
Yep. And that's why I think, coming back to sort of this chat today is understanding a baseline of what people do know seems to be the way to best achieve an outcome, because if you don't measure it first, you don't necessarily know where people are. And everyone, I think, is at different levels. I've found that.
Definitely.
Some people seem to be more vulnerable than others just due to the way that they embrace and interact with technology, even their psychology, their personality. Yep.
Plays a big part into it.
Yeah.
And that sort of thing and where they're at. And was interesting. I was talking to one of the guys about the most – targeted, or the people who fell for the most scams last year, or even this quarter, I think it was first quarter this year, up to March 22.
Yep.
Queenslanders.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Male.
Yeah.
25 to 34.
Really?
Were the highest percentage of people to fall for some sort of scam.
Yeah, wow.
In that sense. So
you wouldn't have picked that, would
so
you?
So it's demographic. There's an element there, which isn't, that's just based on one report that we've seen. But so you've got there's an element of needing to understand where people are at in that process. And again, it's not a technical understanding.
Yeah.
It is, you mentioned, it's more psychological, psychosymmetric sort of scenario. What are people's perceptions around technology? What are their feelings towards technology? What are their feelings towards security?
Yeah.
What are their reactions to different scams or different types of things. So it's testing, asking questions. So there's an element that we work through, which is around creating that baseline awareness. So yeah. it's a bit user behavioral assessment in some respect.
Yeah.
So there's a questionnaire element, which is really just trying to get an understanding of how people engage. One, do your staff respond to these questionnaires? You've been asked, do you respond? No, didn't get a response from 20%.
Yep.
Okay, you've got an issue in your business that people aren't engaging with your security in the first instance. So that's one issue to deal with.
Yep.
Okay, when they do respond, how are they responding? What are the type of responses we're getting? That type of thing. To get a feel for across the business, there are clear departments in businesses where there's less knowledge, less care factor.
Yep.
Other departments have higher knowledge, higher care factor. So it's then what this gives you is this visibility around where to target training as well. There's no point training a team over here that are fully aware of phishing, understand it inside out. Don't do the training. They don't need it.
Yep.
They need to be taught something else.
Yeah.
But this team over here who have no idea what to look for in a phishing email are constantly clicking on the links. We need to train them about phishing.
Yep.
So it's this, there's this user assessment, I guess. Then there's, you've got to put an element of testing across the top. So like phishing tests, SMS tests, voice phishing tests, those type of things, where we can then get a gauge across the business as to who's clicking what, how often things are getting clicked, what type of emails are getting clicked.
Yep.
Are people falling for more general phishing or are they falling for more targeted spear phishing type things?
Yeah.
So it's getting this all together and that builds that baseline report, which should give you an insight into your business then across it to say, well, there's a risk, we assign a risk rating to it and stuff like that, where it's your business is at this percentage of risk based on these elements. What that gives you then is the ability to go and target training and target education for those teams and users that really need it. Because they'll need it in different areas. And we're not talking just about phishing training here. This is privacy training. This is general security.
It might be
things like Wi-Fi, educating people on what to connect to when they're on a Wi-Fi network. Don't connect to that Wi-Fi, connect to this Wi-Fi. Those type of things. So it's identifying that and then using that as your framework to train throughout the year. But you've got to continually test as well. You'll get new starters. You'll identify during the year if different areas of the business are having that heightened awareness and then dropping off. So is there complacency building across your security within there? And it will. Complacency will set in. Unless it's continually reinforced.
Of course. It's just a matter of, it's humans.
Humans. We get busy, we get distracted.
Yep.
Actually, I've got to focus on my day job and get this done. I don't have time to do whatever it was, whatever thing you wanted to put in front of me to do. So you've got to give them space to do that training. But you've got to make it so it's easy to consume as well. And it's relevant. People don't want to do training that's not relevant. In that sense. So identifying those
it's so critical.
As I said before, don't train the team that knows what a phishing email is in phishing 101. Don't train them in that because they probably don't know anything about, I don't know, data privacy and how to deal with data within your business and stuff like that. So So it's you've got to get that baseline. And then you've got to be able to report at the beginning and then you need to be able to measure that throughout the ongoing. This is not a one-off thing you can do. You just can't do training once a year and hope that everyone's going to... It's the same with anything. It's a continual education.
It's the ongoing, right?
It's the ongoing. Yeah. And educating and get that and then really compare and measure. Have we improved throughout the year? And you do you just measure those things again. Measure them at the end. How have we performed? Have we reduced our risk at all? Are we at the same? Are
I think
we
that's higher? Really interesting to be able to really look at that.
And why is that?
Yeah.
Oh, we've had high staff turnover. Okay, well, maybe those new staff haven't been onboarded
properly
into that security element.
Because that strikes me as a big vulnerability.
Huge.
New user onboarding is just a massive gap for a number of things in an organization. But especially the security bit.
And it's important to set that, I guess, that benchmark early with your team. This is the expectation around security that we as a business, you've got to build a security culture. It's no different to building culture within your business. I think security needs to be an element of that. It's not something you go and advertise and it doesn't sit on your mission statement and on your walls and stuff, but which is where people talk about business culture. But the mission statement, up here and here's the values and all this sort of stuff. And that's all critically important for a business, don't get me wrong.
Yes.
But security doesn't need to necessarily play into that, but it still needs to be part of the culture.
Yep.
So when someone comes on, it's, okay, here's the policy on how we deal with security. Here's the training, the basic training you need that everyone's got to go through regardless. You're going to go, you've got to answer these assessment and just be aware you're going to get tested at some point.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, they received the phishing test, they click the link and they fail.
Yeah.
Well, clearly, obviously, didn't understand, wasn't educated. Let's go back and reinforce that with them and help them through that process. Again, it's not about being negative in that response either, because as soon as you're negative in that response or you clicked a phishing link, you're useless.
Yeah.
That doesn't drive any benefit anywhere. Yeah, so it's about, you have clicked the link. Can we have it? Can we understand why you clicked the link? What are you looking for?
Yep.
Maybe we just need to provide some more education. Next time, if you're not sure, flick the email through to the support team to assess and analyze for you.
Absolutely.
Those type of things. So giving people options and channels and that sort of stuff is critical as part of that as well.
Yeah. I think, it's overrated. It's underrated the fact that people don't even consider that as part of an onboarding in the world we live in now. And it strikes me as just, something that you can't put your head in the sand about.
No, you can't. Technology is not going to do it all and can't do it all.
Yeah.
Yes, you have to have technology and yes, it has to be configured and monitored and managed and secured. That's just the way things are today. Has to be in there. But it's how familiar are your team with understanding the impact of these things happening?
Absolutely.
Because I think that's probably the thing that may go unmentioned at times is the impact of someone changing bank details could be hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars to a business. Well, that could put a business out.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's it. You're done.
Definitely. You don't recover from that.
You drop a 50 grand invoice into a scammer's account.
Yeah.
Well,
the banks aren't going to get it back for you.
They're not going to get it back for you. Yeah, there'd be an element if you've got cyber insurance. But again, with cyber insurance, you've got to make sure that you're doing the right things and being seen to be active and ticking off these components as well.
Absolutely.
Cyber insurance isn't going to cover you if you've never gone through a process of educating your team or you've never put any phishing or spam software in place and things like this. Well, they're just going to say you weren't trying.
Yeah, you haven't. Yeah, non-compliant.
Yeah. So, and insurance companies is...
They're very good at getting out of things.
I'll try everything to get out of it. But it's important. You've got to... Some of this is all about self-insurance. I mean, this isn't... And to educate your team and your new starters isn't overly cumbersome. Yeah.
No.
You know, they're going to have to spend another hour on their onboarding.
Yeah.
Well, how's your onboarding day look now? Like... Really, you've got an onboarding day in most cases, half day, full day, getting familiar, meeting people.
Yep.
Just set aside a bit of time to go through this process with them.
Yep.
Make sure you've got this established and structured and here's
the
policies.
Yeah, understand what your framework is. Yeah.
Have that all there. This is the policies that as an organization we're working against and towards.
Yep.
This is what we expect of our team.
Yeah.
This is what we're going to need you to do. You've got to go through this course. You've got to do this. You've got to answer these questions and then we'll get you going.
Yeah. I think it just saves so much pain down the line.
Oh, it can certainly help,
Because it's just, I look at security now as it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. You will be tested and it'll be if you're, and it always seems to come. I've got a friend that seems at quarter to five on a Friday afternoon, they always get these phishing emails. And it's right at the end of the day,
it's targeted.
Right? Yeah, it's right at the end of the day. And from 5 years ago, they're so much smarter than they ever have been, scammers.
Man.
And even COVID, we've noticed that. Yeah. Even with post-COVID, the last 2 years, it's gone to a whole new level.
It is. Don't think you're not targeted.
Yeah.
You are.
Yeah.
And don't think you're too small to be targeted.
Yeah.
You're getting targeted.
Yeah. Everyone is
getting targeted. Now, it might seem, there might be blanket attacks, which is everyone's getting the same Australia Post email or the same whatever it is, utilities bill email.
Yeah.
But don't think you're not being profiled and targeted and what you're putting up on social media isn't being looked at.
Of course.
What you're putting up on LinkedIn, Facebook, all this sort of stuff, it's being looked at.
Yeah.
When your new starters start, it's not coincidental that they get an email 3 days later that they've from the CEO 3 days after they've started a new job.
Yeah, 100%.
There's no coincidence in that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Your company is being watched.
Yeah.
Which is scary as when you think about it.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
But it's the same. Like, we have it here. I mean, onboarding, I know one of the teams started, and within a week he had an email from me saying, can you give me a call on my WhatsApp number?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, again, we go through an education process here. So, but don't think because we're technology, we don't get targeted.
Of course.
All the time. Yeah, yeah, like, happens all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Bloody it's crazy.
Brilliant. Crazy. Brilliant. So the importance of baseline. So wrapping up, I think having a framework, building that framework out is sort of the good place to start, and understanding, I suppose, where everybody's at, because everyone's going to be at different levels.
And that's key is get that clear visibility around who's where, what they're at, what levels they're at. And we're not talking, this isn't like the most in-depth 4,000 questions
This is simple stuff
to get a feel for where your team are at and where your business is at from a risk perspective.
Yep.
Then we can start targeting training around where the gaps are.
Yeah.
How do we educate and make it engaging?
Yeah, 100%.
That's the key
tailored
thing. Yeah, tailored engaging.
That
people will, you can give them a video and they can sit there and they'll play the video on one screen while clicking their mouse while watching their work on the other. They're not learning anything,
but
they've got your compliance tick. So you've got to balance these things. That's important. You've got to have those checks and balances in place, and that's more reinforcement. But how do we get people engaged in this process? And that's the key element people engaged, because once you engage someone, they will change their behavior.
Mm.
And we engage them often enough throughout a period that becomes ingrained and second nature. And if we tailor the why to the individual as well, that's going to change that behavior again, because if they don't click on the email at home because they're worried about losing the money out of their bank account, it's less likely they're going to click the email in the office.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. No, that's good. That's good. I think, for me, it's that ongoing thing that's the important thing. It's not the one-off hit.
One-off hit will get you, it's like a sugar rush. It'll get you a bang, and for the next, I think the stats say 30 to 45 days, you'll have hypervigilance.
Yep.
Post that bulk training in there. But people's retention, their knowledge retention drops. I mean, knowledge retention drops after 15 days in most cases, if not sooner. Depending on how it's delivered. So there's an element of, you've got to do that. You've got to understand where people are. You've got to do the training, but then you've got to keep it going throughout the year in different ways, different engagement, reinforcement material, different types of sessions, targeted training. Testing needs to continue so we can get continual. It's about data collection, see what's happening. Have we got a gap in the business because you've restructured or you've got new team members on, that type of stuff.
And then
reporting on that at the end and getting that comparison.
Yep.
Okay, now where do we need to go next year?
Yeah.
Do we need to change our attack? Do we need to do something else? Do we have gaps in security elsewhere?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's an always evolving and always ongoing thing.
Yeah. So baseline and then keep it going.
Yeah. Yep.
Beautiful.
Wonderful.
Thanks, Tommy.
See you next time.
Bye.